Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom.
Hey, we're on day two of our literature unit. We're focusing on the author Henry James, a classical author who has a couple of books that are pretty popular. The Portrait of a Lady was made into a film about, I would say, 15 years ago, maybe.
Really?
Uh-huh, by a female director. I remember it was kind of cool because we don't have many female directors out there. And The Turn of the Screw is famous to me because it was turned into an opera. So I actually learned an aria from the opera. An aria is a solo in an opera.
Whose part did you sing? The governesses?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So you were playing her part in the opera.
I did not sing the part of the little girl, no.
Okay, I thought you had kind of a high voice or something like that. But in any case here, we are talking about Henry James's novel, The Turn of the Screw.
Uh-huh.
Actually, in our last program, we summarized that novel.
The plot, right.
But today we're actually going to talk about the writer himself, Henry James, who actually is American, but then he moved over to Europe and did a lot of work there. So he's kind of an American slash British writer, but we'll get to that as our lesson continues. So what we're going to do right now is read the entire content of our lesson for today, and then we're going to come back and talk about it.
Henry James is undoubtedly one of America's most talented writers. He was born in New York City in 1843 and came from a wealthy family. Because he had many brothers and sisters, he didn't receive a huge inheritance. James demonstrated a keen intellect from an early age and spent most of his early years moving between Europe and America. A gifted student, he attended Harvard Law School for 1 year, but then dropped out. Later, he moved to England and pursued a career as a writer. James's breakthrough work, Daisy Miller, was a short novel published in 1879. It deals with the cultural differences between Europeans and Americans at the time, as well as the innocence and naive attitude of youth. James also achieved critical success with his other novels, The Portrait of a Lady and The Turn of the Screw. However, these works did not turn into financial successes for him. Although James always had financial issues, he never experienced the dire poverty that many talented writers went through. From a stylistic standpoint, James's writing is classified under the genre of literary realism, a style that deals with the hard truths of contemporary life. He preferred to write about real-world subjects that were important to him, even if the themes didn't appeal to the masses. James often wrote from the perspective of a single character, which allowed him to dive deeply into the psychology of individuals. To this day, many critics and fans of his works still discuss and debate the meaning of his works.
Okay, it's time to talk about the writer of The Turning of the Screw, Henry James. He is undoubtedly one of America's most talented writers. I suppose lots of people would recognize him as being a talented writer. Undoubtedly means with no doubt. There is no doubt that he is one of America's finest writers. That means nobody doubts this, or at least very few people doubt this.
So it's certain. It's certain. There's no doubt. So they're saying he's definitely one of America's most talented writers. He was born in New York City in 1843, and he was lucky enough to come from a wealthy family. Back then, that would have been a very nice thing to be from a wealthy family. Life wasn't easy back in the 1800s. Well, he had a lot of brothers and sisters, so he didn't receive a huge inheritance. An inheritance is money or property, maybe homes, things that your parents leave you after they pass away. If you're lucky, you have an inheritance.
But in any case here, an inheritance, of course, refers to the money or the property that you get when somebody dies. And he had lots of brothers and sisters, mm-hmm. so I guess they kind of had to split it up yeah. many ways, so therefore he did not get a huge inheritance. If he were an only child, for example, and his parents had $20 million when they died, hey, that's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. But if you have 19 siblings, brothers and sisters, then you only get $1 million, and you can spend that in a weekend. Henry James didn't have a lot of money after his parents died, but I'm sure he was still doing okay. Mm-hmm. James demonstrated a keen intellect from an early age and spent most of his early years moving between Europe and America. So he demonstrated this. To demonstrate means you show something to someone else mm-hmm. in different senses here. To demonstrate in this sense means that other people were aware of this when they heard him talk, when they saw his grades from school. That showed them that, hey, this kid is really sharp. He has a keen intellect.
Mm. Well, he spent most of his early years moving back and forth between Europe and America. So he also got to travel a lot, which is really lucky. We're calling him a gifted student. If you're gifted, it doesn't mean people gave you presents. It means you have a lot of talent. Maybe he was smart. We know he had a keen intellect. He was very intelligent. He was smart, you could say. But maybe he also could do other things. Maybe he was a musician. Maybe he had some other talents. Gifted just means someone's quite talented in different areas.
Yes, and you would also have a keen intellect, and keen, of course, is showing eagerness or enthusiasm about something, but it's also noticeable. And intellect basically means your intelligence, how witty you are. So he was pretty smart, and his parents recognized this, and they thought, well, we can't just be stuck here in New York. We got to go over to London and Paris because our kid is so gifted. And because he was gifted, he had these extra abilities that most kids don't. He attended Harvard Law School for 1 year. Mm-hmm. But law isn't for everybody, even for people with keen intellects. Maybe it just wasn't for him, and later he dropped out. If you drop out, that means you stop school. You quit. And this happens a lot of times. Sometimes you get in over your head. It's just too much. You can't keep up with the coursework, and you just quit. You drop out of school.
And later he moved to England and pursued a career as a writer. To pursue something means you chase after it, you try to get something. Usually it means you're doing it over a long period of time. You could pursue a career, but you could also pursue someone you're interested in. Maybe a guy's been chasing you for a while, he keeps trying to get you to go out with them. He's pursuing you.
Pursue could also mean chasing. In a literal sense, the police are pursuing the bank robbers, trying to catch them.
Yeah.
But here it just means he went there to try to become a writer. So he was going to go to school and write some things and submit those things to publishers. He pursued a career as a writer. Now, here in the next paragraph, it says, James's breakthrough work, Daisy Miller, was a short novel published in 1879. So writers, of course, aspiring writers, or people who want to be writers, have to write all sorts of stuff and submit it to publishers, but the publishers almost always will reject your manuscripts and mm-hmm. say, it's not good enough, mm-hmm. sorry, maybe next time. But your breakthrough work is the one that the publishers actually liked. Hey, we saw your script. We like it. We've decided to publish it. And so, therefore, that was his breakthrough work. He was known after that, and after that, there was no stopping him.
Now, breakthrough is actually a noun. You could just say, this job could be the breakthrough you've been waiting for. Here we're using it in front of another noun, which is often done. You could have a breakthrough performance, a breakthrough film, a breakthrough album, which was just so good that people finally noticed your talent. So this book, Daisy Miller, deals with cultural differences between Europeans and Americans, at least back then, not today, but what it was like back then. If you deal with something, you could handle it. Here it actually means that's the subject. So I could say, oh, this book here deals with World War II. That's what the subject is. So he was comparing culture between Europe and America. It was very different at the time.
I wonder if things are different now in the same way they were then.
Uh-uh.
It'd be kind of hard to say.
It's still different. We have very big cultural differences, but it's not like it was back in the 1800s.
Different kinds of differences.
Different kinds of differences. Good.
Exactly. So his book was about those differences between Europeans and Americans at that time in the late 1800s, as well as the innocence and naive attitude of youth. Youth here just refers to young people. And innocence is the state of being not guilty or not really being responsible for things. Innocence is something that children have. They're young. They haven't really done anything that they're responsible for or they need to feel guilty about. But as you get older, you lose your innocence. You have to start taking care of yourself and you start doing things to other people. So you're guilty about certain things, and you've lost your innocence.
I don't think innocence here means you're not guilty. I think we use innocence when we talk about kids because they don't have any experience of the real world. They think everybody's great. They don't know that bad things happen in life. They trust everyone. So it can mean someone who's not guilty of a crime. But here, when you're talking about children, it means they just lack worldly experience. They've never been out there. People are always taking care of them. They don't know that there are folks out there trying to hurt them. That's your innocence. If you're naive, you just show a lack of knowledge about what the world's like. You think you can trust everyone. Oh, everyone's my friend. No, they're not.
Yeah, I went to Thailand one time with a woman. That was the girlfriend of a friend of mine.
Sure.
He was there, too. And she thought that she could go to Thailand and buy some opium and take it back to her father. And we thought, boy, is she naive. You can't do that. Opium is illegal. You'll end up in jail if you do that.
Yeah, that's a drug.
Yeah, that was kind of funny. She was actually being serious, too.
Seriously?
Yeah, that was a long time ago, though. She's learned since then. But in any case here, that's what naive means. So that's what the book was about, the differences between Europeans and Americans, and also about the innocence and the fact that these young people have this naive attitude about things, which eventually, hopefully, they'll grow out of. And we'll continue with our lesson in just a second. It's time now to listen to our Chinese teacher.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 昨天我们看了 Henry James 所写的这本小说的内容，接着我们要来介绍作者本人。在第一个句子提到 ,Henry James is undoubtedly one of America's most talented writers. 他可以说呢，是美国最有一个才华的作家之一。Undoubtedly, 这里要特别提醒同学他的拼字哦。它其实也可以等于 without a doubt, 都是解释成为毫无疑问的。他出生于一个富裕的家庭，在1843年的时候，在中间的句子提到 James demonstrated a keen intellect from an early age and spent most of his early years moving between Europe and America.其实他在很早的时候就展现了他睿智的敏捷的智力。在这里我们用 a keen intellect 来指他非常的聪明。a intellect 当作名词就可以用来指智力跟思维能力的意思。他早年就显示自己的聪明才智，常常在欧洲跟美国之间往返。这一段的最后一句 ,later he moved to England and pursued a career as a writer. 后来他搬到了英国，就开始从事了作家的生涯。在英文里面，从事怎么样子的职业，你就可以用 pursue 这个动词。所以如果说 pursue a career in medicine, 指的就是从事医疗的工作。第二段的一刚开始提到 James' breakthrough work, Daisy Miller, was a short novel published in 1879. 这里的 breakthrough 用来当作名词，可以解释成为突破或者是重大的发现。科学上面重大的发现，你就可以说 scientific breakthrough。它其实呢，突破性的作品是 Daisy Miller, 是一篇发表于1879年的短篇小说。It deals with the cultural differences between Europeans and Americans at the time, as well as the innocence and naive attitude of youth. 他其实探讨的内容就是当时欧洲人跟美国人的文化差异，同时也包括了青少年的天真跟单纯的态度。这里面的 innocence 指的就是一种幼稚跟天真咯。当然 innocence 还有另外一个意思，解释成为清白无罪的意思。举个例子来说，陪审团的职责就是要判断被告是有罪或无罪，你就可以说 The jury's role is to decide the guilt or innocence of the defendant.
We're going to take a short break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Let's continue with our lesson. Again, we're talking about the author of our featured novel, The Turning of the Screw. And this is Henry James, and we talked about the fact that he's from New York, but he was from a rich family, so he had this keen intellect. He went back and forth between America and Europe. Later, he pursued a career as a writer. His breakthrough work was Daisy Miller. And after that, he was a well-known author. Now, James also achieved critical success with his other novels, The Portrait of a Lady and The Turn of the Screw. Actually, I just said The Turning of the Screw. That's mistaken. Actually, to tell you the truth, sometimes I get this novel mixed up with a Shakespeare play, The Taming of the Shrew, which sounds very similar here, but The Turn of the Screw is entirely different here, and these are some other novels that he was successful with. He achieved critical success. One type of success is commercial success. If you sell a lot of an album or something, then you've achieved commercial success with a lot of money. But critical success means that the critics like you. You're not going to make money if the critics like you. You have to have commercial success for that. But still, it's pretty good if the critics like you, then you will have commercial success. If the critics like you, then everybody's going to like you.
I wanted to mention, if you want to get the DVD for The Portrait of a Lady, Nicole Kidman, the actress, was in it, and the director was Jane Campion. I remember those names. I think it was one of the first serious films that Nicole Kidman did. It's not my cup of tea, remember that phrase. It's not really my kind of movie, but you might enjoy seeing it. Now, these works that we mentioned, The Portrait of a Lady and The Turn of the Screw, were not financially successful. He didn't make a lot of money, but the critics liked it. You kind of want both. You want the critics to like what you produce, but you also want to make some money. And James always did have some financial issues, but he was lucky to never experience the dire poverty that a lot of talented writers and artists, I must say, painters went through back then. We didn't have the internet. You couldn't publicize your stuff. So if you were an artist, sometimes you would go through your whole life and never make any money or become famous until after you died. Poverty means the condition of being very, very poor. And dire means very bad. So dire poverty means extremely serious, an extremely serious state of being poor. So you had nothing. We often will use dire to talk about an emergency. A dire emergency means you better hurry quickly.
Right. So he had financial issues. Maybe he owed money once in a while, but he didn't have this dire poverty that many talented writers went through. Like, for example, Edgar Allan Poe, he had financial problems, and Mark Twain did too. And so he never really experienced this dire poverty. He was still okay. He made money in other ways or got money from his siblings. We don't really know, but he never was really a bum or a beggar on the streets. So he never had to go through this dire poverty. If you go through something, you experience something, usually some kind of hardship, okay? Mm-hmm. You might go through hard times in your life, perhaps after there's a death in the family or you have a divorce and you lose all your money on the stock market. You're going to go through hard times.
It simply means to experience something, but we'll also use it, as most of you know, to talk about going through things like a tunnel. You're going to go through the tunnel and come out the other end, right? I could say, in order to really learn this job well, you have to go through several months of training. You experience that training. Well, let's talk about the style of James's writing. From a stylistic standpoint, we're saying just from a standpoint just means looking at it from this angle. Let's look at his style. His style is a particular way that he wrote, the words he chose, what kind of sentences he used, what kind of feeling does he give you as a writer. His writing is classified under the genre of literary realism. To classify something means you put it into a category. You arrange it into groups based on ways that it's alike with something else. Now, a genre, notice we don't say gunry or genre. It's genre. It's a French word. That's why. Genre just means a particular type or category of literature or art or even music.
And this category or this genre turns out to be literary realism. Literary, of course, has to do with literature, writing books and stuff like that. Realism is basically accepting a situation as it is and being prepared to deal with it accordingly. That's what realism is. So I guess it's real practical, it's real realistic. I guess it wouldn't have too many fantasies in it.
No, no. It's like real life. That's what realism is. So you would look at this literature and find that it describes people and things that you see in just everyday life, real life.
Right. And it deals with the hard truths of contemporary life. Contemporary means occurring at the same time or in the current situations or current times, contemporary life. Contemporary writers are modern writers, basically. And so, yes, you have to deal with these hard truths of life, and you can't look the other way. You can't stick your head in the sand. That's what his approach is. You have to face it and deal with it.
Yeah, you don't write it to sound better than it really is. He wrote what it was really like. He preferred to write about real-world subjects that were important to him. He chose themes sometimes that didn't appeal to the masses. The masses is a phrase we use to describe ordinary people, common people. Tom and I are part of the masses. So are you. If you appeal to somebody, it means they find you very appealing, pleasing, attractive. There's something they like about you. I could say, oh, this movie appeals to adults as well as children. They both like it. So he chose themes that weren't always popular with people.
For example, I once gave some CDs to a friend of mine here in Taiwan. They were Led Zeppelin CDs. And he listened to like one song and he said, Tom, sorry, but this music doesn't appeal to me. It's all heavy metal. And I like soft ballads and love songs and stuff like that.
Yeah. What is it, Led Zeppelin?
Led Zeppelin,
that
yeah.
Doesn't appeal to me either. Well, James often wrote from the perspective or the viewpoint, I could say, of a single character. So when he told his stories, he'd often tell it just from one person's perspective, not everybody's or a general narrator. He would tell the story as if somebody was telling the story directly.
Mm-hmm. From the perspective of a single character, and that, of course, allowed him to dive deeply into the psychology of individuals, and that's what we want. Psychology, of course, is the study of the human mind and what it does and how we think and how we behave and all that kind of stuff. And so we could look into the minds of these individuals. An individual, of course, is a single person. So we could know kind of what they're thinking and try to figure out how we think when contrasted with that.
And then our final sentence to wrap this article up, it says, to this day. So throughout time and up to now, we're still debating some of his books. We're also debating the meaning of the messages that he wrote about, the themes of his books. If you debate something, you discuss it with other people whose opinions might be different from yours. And that's a good thing to do. If you are in high school or college, you might be on the debate team. where you have a topic that is sort of controversial and you both go back and forth sharing your opinions about the pros and cons of something, the positive things and the negative things. It's good to learn how to debate.
I was on the school debate team in ninth grade and I went to our first tournament and we lost all six of the debates. It was my first time and I quit after that.
Well, that's not very fun to lose.
Yeah, it sucks. Well, in any case, it's time now, everybody, to listen to our Chinese teacher one more time.
其实 Henry James 所写的 The Portrait of a Lady, 一位女士的画像 The Turn of the Screw, 壁炉冤孽也都相当的成功，不过并没有为她的经济带来太多的益助。所以在这一段的最后一句提到 Although James always had financial issues, he never experienced the dire poverty that many talented writers went through.虽然总是有财务问题，可是啊，他不像其他许多有才华的作家都经历过一些非常悲惨的贫穷状况。下一段的开始 ,From a stylistic standpoint, James' writing is classified under the genre of literary realism, a style that deals with the hard truths of contemporary life.从他写作的风格来看，他的写作被归类为是文学中的现实主义，我们叫做呢 literary realism。什么是现实主义呢？其实他所探讨的就是当代生活一些残酷的事实。如果我们要讲到分类的话，可以用动词 classify。如果你是根据某项东西把某人做分类，你就可以说 classify somebody according to something。中间的句子谈到 James often wrote from the perspective of a single character, which allowed him to dive deeply into the psychology of individuals.James 常常写的呢，都是从单一角色的观点来下笔。这里又看到了 from the perspective of somebody。而正因为这样子呢，我们也打上逗号 which 来表示前面句子所陈述的内容，就 allowed him, 就也让他能够呢更深入个人的心理状态。在这里的 dive into 就是有全心钻研跟全身投入的意思。这样子的句子像是打逗号再加上 which 用来代表前面句子所陈述的内容，常常可以看得到。再举个例子来说， A skilled workforce is essential, which is why the training program is so important.也就是熟练的劳动力是极为必要的，而用逗号 which 来代表，那也就是为什么训练计划很重要咯。
Thanks for joining us, everyone. We're out of time for today, but in our next program, please join us. We're going to be talking about the themes of the book itself and why he wrote about what he did.
Okay, so until then, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.